The Guardian.
Hey, Freddie McConnell here. And before you get started with this episode of Token, we wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For everything you need to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/guardian to get 10% off your first purchase. And now, here's the show. Hello and welcome to Token, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy V-Day, babe.
V-Day?
What? V-Day. Freddie, how would you describe this podcast for newcomers?
Well, I would say that Token is essentially a podcast about being a token. So it's a really clever name. Whether it's sort of gender, race, sexuality, disability, cultural background, or any other kind of life experience that you have that makes you a token, we want to make you feel represented in this podcast. And that isn't to say that all of that stuff is the same or equal or that we know about all that stuff, but that's why we have guests
on.
We don't know about most of that stuff. But we have guests on that can speak from experience. So this week for Valentine's Day, we are endeavouring to solve some of our listeners' dilemmas. And we've deliberately chosen and asked for sort of token dilemmas. So not the dilemmas that you might get answered in the mainstream media about, you know, what to buy your partner or where to go for dinner or things like that. This is more like obscure.
The answer is Nando's.
What? The answer is Nando's. Really?
Carry
cheeky
on.
Nando's than a cheeky something else. Sort of a token dilemma that you know you've been wondering about but isn't answered or addressed. Usually, that's what we're here to do.
And joining us in the studio is Alex Fox.
Hello, hey. Superhumans.
Hi, Alex.
I'm here as the token sexpert this week.
Ooh.
Oracle of all things oral, anal and genital.
So Alex is presenter of The Guardian's amazing sex podcast called Close Encounters and just knower of all things sex and relationships. Thank you, everyone, for sending in your dilemmas and questions. They're amazing. Mm. And shall we just kick off and get the first one?
Let's do it.
Right, Freddie, do you want to take this one?
Cool.
We're going to do Freddie reading the male people and me reading the female people.
Very, that's
no, it's like so you can get into the moment.
I know, but it's making all sorts of assumptions about how men and women's...
Let's go.
Cool. Okay, so question one. Hi.
Hi.
I am an asexual man, currently in a relationship. With Valentine's coming up, how would I go about having the awkward conversation of coming out to them?
Ooh.
There is so much going on in this very short question.
Yeah. Alex, you're an expert. Say something.
To clarify, asexual means somebody who has no desire or compulsion to have sexual interactions whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
For some asexual people, that means they just don't want to have penetrative sex. They might do other fooling around. I would say for the majority of people who define as asexual, they don't want to have any kind of intimate genital contact. They might do kissing, they may not. Some asexual people define themselves as aromantic as well, which means that they don't want to do anything close or romancy. Other asexual folks really like to have really close friendships and that would maybe be considered more than two mates.
Yeah.
But they just don't want to do anything squelchy.
See, that's squelchy. That's where I was confused because I was like, how can you be in a relationship if you're asexual? How would you have even got into this relationship? But that just shows that I didn't know the definition between aromantic and asexual. What should this man do? I don't have no idea.
It depends how long they've been together.
The phrasing of this question is very interesting because he says, I'm in a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't
call
it a
relationship. That hasn't divulged to his partner that he's asexual. So
have they had sex and he just hasn't enjoyed it?
Oh,
well,
no.
They might have done. Some asexual people do.
He's just been
force themselves to do it.
For the
so
team.
It's a compromise. Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Because, I mean, that's something that, like, maybe it's not a deal breaker for him, but he would just rather not be having sex.
That can be a scenario, yeah.
But okay, so maybe if I got into a new relationship with a man and they said, look, I'm asexual, it's not a deal breaker, but I'd rather not, that would be a deal breaker because you don't want to have sex. Well, sorry, I wouldn't
for you,
want to have sex with somebody who was having sex with me purely because I wanted to. Do you know what I mean?
And you knew that they weren't enjoying it at all.
Like, for a lot of people, you need the mutual enjoyment.
Of course, yeah. assuming that his partner wouldn't want to just carry on if he was like actively not enjoying it. But then there's different levels of enjoyment. Some people enjoy sex because they're doing something for the other person.
Yeah.
And it's not about their own pleasure, or they get their own pleasure because of the other person's pleasure. I suppose then he's not asexual.
I would be surprised if the partner here hadn't clocked that there was something amiss. Mm. But I would say you need to share your status as an asexual person fairly quickly in order to manage your partner's expectations.
Yeah.
If the partner is sexual, there's going to put a lot of pressure on them both if there's this expectation that at some point they're going to have sex if they haven't yet. And that, awkward.
Yeah. I would add a note of caution. The person says, with Valentine's Day coming up, I would maybe not do it on Valentine's Day, just because it's not, I just would say like the day before or the day after, because it's kind of like happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm never going to sleep with you.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't see it as an occasion announcement. I would see it as like just when you're having a chat, the next time you get slightly deep, just be like, yeah, and this other thing.
Yeah. We're assuming that their partner's going to take it badly.
Yeah.
I guess otherwise he wouldn't feel it was a dilemma. Like, it might actually turn out that they're relieved or that it's not that big a deal. Like,
it isn't for everybody.
No.
I was put in a position a good few years ago where I'd been talking about matters of this nature for a long, long time, and I was suddenly forced to make sure that I was writing checks that my ass could cash, because a partner said to me that they found sex quite hard and that they didn't really feel like it was something that they could do straight away. They weren't clear with me on why this was, so I was thinking, are they asexual? Do they have a micro penis? It was a male partner. Maybe they have a serious STI. Perhaps some traumas happened to them earlier in their lives. As it turned out, the issue was that they had a really tight foreskin and they hadn't been circumcised as a younger person. So sex for them was actively quite painful, although they found that using a condom kind of kept everything in place and helped them. But it was really, my own morals were kind of put to the test.
Yeah.
And after telling the world that, you know, you should be open-minded and there's more than one type of sex and sexual satisfaction you can get. And I'm glad that I did decide that, I liked that person enough to see how it went. And and the relationship didn't work out ultimately. But for a while, I was happy with something that I hadn't considered before. So it might not all go wrong, diddly, wrong, wrong.
No, but sexual compatibility is really important.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that being asexual is a problem, but you just have to make sure that you are compatible with your partner, and you owe it to them to be sort of having that honest conversation from the outset, I would say.
There might be some good tips on how to broach the subject. Do you know, have you heard of Avon?
No. Like Avon Lady.
No, but maybe there should be an Avon person who comes and knocks on your door if you're asexual.
Yeah, niche market.
There's a cream for that. Yeah. No, it's the Asexual Visibility and Education Network. It's an online forum, but it's loads of asexual people of all different types who get together and chat about what they've learned. In fact, I went on there and learnt some new terminology, and I've picked up some words that I just think are so great. Apparently, asexual people don't say that they have a crush, because, again, that suggests a desire to have sex with someone or snog them or whatever. Well, they call it a squish. I've got a squish on someone.
Yeah, I don't know why this is rubbing me up the wrong way.
Does it seem unnecessary to you?
Because, that word may mean that to some people, but it just it doesn't. If you're, like, you still can have, you talk about, like, having crushes on people in the sense that you just really admire them, or you've got,
what?
You talk about man crush or lady crush, like,
yeah.
If you're not gay but you have a man crush, like,
they're,
you don't
to
need
have words,
any, they are, but I just feel like new words for things.
It can overcomplicate matters where it's not needed.
Yeah, or
it?
They can get taken by people who aren't members of that community and sort of focused on, and actually, like, that's not that commonly used. Like,
yeah.
But we think it is because it sounds interesting.
But we don't
interesting.
Know, do we?
We don't, but
that's
I've,
like
I know...
That's
like
Z, isn't it?
Yeah, like exactly. Like, they is the most common gender-neutral pronoun, but everyone gets hung up on Z and Z and here and all these sorts of... actually, like, so few people use those things. It's not something we need to all get our knickers in a twist about.
It's very sweet.
I'm not saying people shouldn't use it at all. I'm just saying that you can have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and it can mean whatever it means to you. You don't need to feel that you can't use that language just because your relationship doesn't.
That's what
I'm saying. Just because your relationship doesn't sort of follow the normal stereotypes doesn't mean you can't use whatever word.
But equally, you can celebrate the fact that your relationship doesn't follow the normal stereotypes. Yeah.
So you might use different words in different contexts.
You want a new word for what it is that you feel.
Yeah, I've heard terms arrow and ace being used as shorthand for asexual and arrow for aromantic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All a quiver about being arrow.
There you go. Oh my
God, I've heard grey sexual as well, meaning somewhere between sexual.
Ambivalent.
I thought it was going to mean that you really fancy old people.
That probably could mean that
gray
as well.
Grey sexual.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Grey gender as well is a thing, where you're not, where you're sort of ambivalent about
you're
your gender
identity.
You're
in the grey area.
You just feel really old.
It's more like a feeling of like you might...
Sorry, I'm cracking myself up here.
I'm not entirely sure what the definition is, but I know it's sort of like kind of along the lines of you don't really have strong feelings about your gender, you don't really know what your gender is, but you don't really necessarily care that much either.
Yeah, so you don't need a bloody word. That's what you don't need a bloody word for. Don't care.
You don't need a word for it, but I get it.
So we think, in summary...
Young man. Or
young
old man.
Yeah. We think our asexual listener here needs to have a chat with his partner ASAP, but not necessarily
not
on Valentine's Day. And bringing it up might be worth chatting to some other asexual people about how they've done it.
Essentially,
we don't know. Right. Shall we do question two?
Question number two, Leia.
This question is from a woman called Marie, who is 30. And Marie says... I'm straight, but I've always wanted to sleep with a woman, and I don't know where to start. I worry it's unethical to use lesbian dating apps if I'm not a real... I just find the phrase real lesbian quite funny. I'll start again.
Yeah, I mean, we should... Yeah.
I worry it's unethical to use lesbian dating apps if I'm not a real lesbian, or is that something people are used to? And I think a gay club would be jumping in at the deep end. Are there other options, and how do I meet other curious women like me?
Are there other options?
Yeah, there's both clubs and dating apps that specifically cater to women who, and men in fact, but let's look at women in this circumstance, who are still feeling their way when it comes to their sexual orientation or want to experiment with something new. Although I'd argue that if you are open about that from the word go, so people know what to expect, I think it'd be fine to say that you're a woman searching for a new relationship with another woman and that you're a beginner on something like Plenty of Fish.
Right.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Because then you will quickly weed out the people that have a problem with that. And I think what we might find a recurring theme here with these questions is people just need to use their words.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it turns out that everything's okay. I mean, I think the things she said about the gay club, I would maybe challenge her to reconsider that, because actually, like, it's quite low stakes. I mean, gay clubs, I don't know what she's imagining. Maybe she's imagining, like, lots of bondage gear and, like, a leather club with lots of intense stuff going on. But actually, just going to a gay club and catching some people's eyes, talking to some people like you would at any other bar. Like, just go there and see how you feel.
Gay clubs... Right. First of all, question. Gay clubs, they are like lesbian clubs, and then there are like gay clubs, right? And then sometimes they're mixed.
There are much more gay clubs than there are lesbian clubs.
So maybe what she's imagining is like the female equivalent to a gay club, where it's like seriously like hardcore, everybody checking each other out all the time. And it's like, I guess in the way that straight men would find that a threatening environment sometimes, she's imagining like just a load of lesbians everywhere being like, let's all have sex now, which
that's
I'm guessing
mean,
is not.
Yeah. But I mean, if you go to, I don't know, a lesbian night at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern or Dalston Superstore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's just like going to any other bar. It's just like the chances are you're going to see more lesbians or queers in general. And you can, So I once Googled, when I was sort of coming out, I Googled like friendly queer night in London and found bar whatever. And it just was that. It was the friendliest thing I'd ever been to. So, yeah, there'll be something out there for her that is the right vibe.
I can make a suggestion. There is a club called Skirt Club. It's designed for women anywhere on the spectrum from real lesbians, as it was
such
put here.
Such a problematic term.
Yeah. which presumably means you live in dungarees or something. I don't know what makes you a real lesbian. To bisexual women, to women who are questioning their sexuality, or people who are pretty much straighter than a Roman road most of the time, but who want to experiment. And Skirt Club is a sex club. Obviously, it's, you know, it starts off warm and gets hotter. But they also do a version called Mini Skirt, which is like a taster. So you can just go have a few drinks, get to know people. It's kind of like a munch.
Yeah.
I tried not to laugh when he said taster, and then he said munch. I was like, come on.
What's a munch? I mean, what's
a munch?
A munch
is where you go to meet people in a friendly, non-sexual setting to talk about sexual subjects, or to meet friends who will then accompany you to a sex club. So it's a way of, like, if you don't have any mates on a particular scene, it's a way of making new friends that's low pressure. Nothing
sexy.
Is there
such a thing as a crunch, or am I imagining that?
Yeah, there's one in Camden called Crunch.
Yeah.
As I understand it, I've been to Camden Crunch. It's loads of fun. It's somewhere between a munch and a club, hence Crunch.
Right.
It's where you can go and dance and talk with your mates from a scene. Mm-hmm. I think Camden Crunch is quite S&M-y, but no sex happens. Mm-hmm. I think the founders set that up because they found that a lot of people who had mates on that scene would only ever see those friends in a sexual context.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just wanted to go out and have a boogie. You know, oh God, how old am I? Again, this is why I'm single. another option for our writer here might be, there's a dating app called Her. Have you heard of that?
No.
I've heard of that. The only person I know on that is a real lesbian. So I assumed that it was for real lesbians.
I think they advertise as being for queer people and bisexual people, and that it's, again, it's okay as long as you're open. I do wonder whether, when Marie says she thinks a gay club would be jumping in at the deep end, do you think she is talking about butch lesbians versus femme lesbians? Because
maybe.
I think, and a lot of people imagine a lesbian club, they do have that quite dykey idea in their head that it's going to be that stereotypical vision of quite butch women with their shaved heads and who are quite hardcore. And these days, I know in London, there is a movement towards more clubs that cater to femme lesbians who like to dress in a more traditionally feminine way.
Yeah.
There's one called...
Why do we need to separate people out like that? I don't know.
But what you're saying is that her fear is that she's going to go to a club...
And it'd be really hardcore, you know, in a butch.
I feel like that comes from some internalised homophobia.
Perhaps so.
I just feel like so much of this question is predicated on assumptions and misunderstandings about sexuality in general. Like, it sort of sounds like she's seeing it in a binary way, like you're either straight or gay.
Yeah.
With the whole kind of real lesbian thing. Like, if you are, like, and that's not the case, and the sort of, jumping at the deep end in a gay club. What do you think is going on in a gay club? Like, it's just people.
You're not
going to
get trampled by a herd of
real lesbians everywhere.
Yeah.
I think the first thing she should do is do some, trying to sound non-patronising as possible, like just do some Googling, do some self-educating, read a book, watch a programme, like try and get more of a sense of what the world is that you might be entering into, rather than assuming that you know what it is that you're entering into and assuming that you know what you're looking for. You just need to understand more.
Yeah. I think, but I also think a bit of trepidation, you know, she's 30, so I can see why she's asking for advice and I can see why she would be concerned.
Yeah.
And if you're right in that she wants to, you know, there are places that appeal to or cater for femme lesbians rather than
real lesbians.
And that's fine. Like, that's fine. You know?
It's fine that different places exist that you can go to.
Yeah. She should be open-minded to start with. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a personal failing that she doesn't get the nuances and that she's coming at it in this quite sort of, like, basic way, because you don't know about this stuff if you've... It's been straight identified your whole life and you haven't explored it. But just be aware that that's the first thing you need to do, maybe, so that you don't go in and offend a bunch of people.
No.
And also miss opportunities, because you might be looking in the wrong place and you might not be aware of the possibilities available to you. So just, yeah.
If
I want her to have a really good experience, basically. Yeah, so do I.
If Maria's in London, there's a really cool club called Pillow Queen, which is for lesbians and their friends and their female friends. And it's quite, I think their tagline is something like, come while out in your pastels or something. It's really chilled and matey and friendly. And that might be a good place to start.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things about that place, actually. Yeah. I like the fact that Marie's question, by the way, illustrates the fact that your sexuality can fluctuate throughout your life and devolve and change. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is interesting because I used the phrase, my friend's mum became a lesbian. And everyone was like, no, but she did. And like what you're saying is it isn't just, oh, you know, she was always on a spectrum and she didn't know what she was and she was always wrong.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, don't you? She
didn't realise maybe she was straight and then she was gay. Like, is that okay to say? Is that cool?
Well, yeah, I mean, because labels are there for us to use to describe ourselves. You don't have to qualify to be...
A real lesbian!
So if you want to identify as a lesbian, you identify as a lesbian. That's all it takes to identify as a thing, to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Yeah. Fine. Vindicated on that argument. Thank you.
I think as long as Marie has a little bit of courage, but also a very open mind, then she'll have a great time. We're assuming she's in London. If she's not in London, then she's totally
bucked. <You're fucked. laughs> No lesbians allowed elsewhere.
Or, you know, like...
If you're not in London, go on her. Well.
And Bristol.
Go on an app. Sorry. Make a friend who's a lesbian.
Mm.
Or what else? I don't know. Yeah,
get on the internet.
There's another app actually called Pink Lobster that's for lesbians and people looking to investigate having relations with women. Don't know why I said it in that weird, breathy
relations.
This is why the word questioning exists, isn't it? As in, like,
yes,
people sometimes identify as questioning, but it can mean sexuality or gender or any other thing. But
I just identify as questionable. I think.
Yeah.
So fine. Segueing neatly into our next question.
Okay, so the next one. This is complicated, so I'm going to read this nice and slow. So this is from a male. I've just written male. I don't think he gave us his name. 26. A good friend recently opened her relationship of 2 years so that we could be together. I'm now with her, but not her boyfriend, who incidentally was already a mutual friend. It's been a few months and I've fallen in love with her. She says she loves me too. We three are able to discuss the situation amicably, but I sometimes feel like a spare part. For example, Valentine's Day is coming up and I almost dare not to invite her to have dinner with me. I feel like inviting her to celebrate our relationship will create tension. It's the same with her birthday. I'd make dinner or take her on a trip, but then it feels like I'm stealing her away or monopolizing her time. The same with New Year's Eve. Her solution was to say she'd go home with neither of us. But what kind of solution is that?
Welcome to the wonderful world of open relationships, people.
It doesn't really seem like a solution. I think he's right. Even though, like, this is a situation of his own making, which seems messy.
It's not only his own making.
No, not only his, but... He seems to have a level of, like, emotional awareness and...
Sorry, I'm aware that I just sounded really cynical about open relationships. They can work great.
This is the difference between a sex expert who tackles these issues every day and people that don't.
Well, I'm just... What I meant by my tone there was just that open relationships, I think, take a lot of work and a lot of negotiation and a lot of learning. And I think they are really hard sometimes.
That's
situations like this are going to arise where if two people both want one person's time and one person's attention, you're going to have to divide that somehow. And that there may well be scenarios where someone feels like they're missing out.
And divide it in a really, like, organised, formal way.
Like when you were a kid and you had a chocolate bar, and I used to insist that my mum cut everything diagonally so that me and my brother got precisely the same bit of
that
Snickers
each. Yeah.
But actually, like, that is probably wouldn't work in this situation.
No,
like,
they can't
usually
cut
polyamory,
her in half. No.
But like equal time, like usually you get a primary and a secondary situation going on.
Have they had that talk? Does he know he's the second? Is there more to this letter?
Yes. He says, I don't like feeling secondary, but I also respect that she and her boyfriend have an existing relationship. It must mean a lot to her still, or she could just have broken up with him to be with me. Neither of them have told their family about me. I understand it could upset and confuse the respective families, but this only adds to the feeling of disempowerment I feel through my position. I wonder if the balance will change over time, or if I'm damaging my sense of self by willfully occupying this position. I say willfully, although now love has taken hold, I'm quite addicted to her attention.
Well, the word addicted always brings up a red flag for me in terms of relationships.
Yeah. But,
oh, I feel so sorry for this person. I feel like they're really trying to do something constructive and open-minded, and it's gotten sticky.
I really don't feel sorry for him. I feel like he's making himself sound really sympathetic, but I don't get that he's in love with her. I get that he's like, his feelings have been heightened by the feeling of jealousy. Like, he says that he's addicted to her attention. That's different from being in love with someone.
The first thing he said was that he's fallen in love and therefore possibly is addicted to her attention.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying, like, what I get from this letter is perhaps he's not being entirely honest with us, and that he's sort of saying, you know, I get this, I get that. But he's not being honest with himself. Like, he is a secondary.
Maybe he is, and maybe that's the key to... Maybe that's what he needs to consider carefully before thinking about whether he can continue. Mm. You know, I mean, I say I can imagine getting myself in this situation. I can't really. But what I mean is, if I decided that I was going to enter a couple's relationship that I was friends with, you could see how this could occur. Like, it makes sense that you could think, oh, well, that would be fun, and I've never tried this before, and like, oh, no, I'm in love. Shit, what do I do? And now I want to see him all the time, and like, blah, 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 blah. So, like, I sympathise with him. I think he needs to work... He needs to maybe speak to her about how he feels.
Yes.
Say, am I being... Look, my feelings for you have grown. Don't know how you feel. Is this too much? Should I step back? Do you see me as secondary? Like, maybe these are all things that just need to be out on the table. And then once he can look at them all, he can decide whether it can work for him or not.
I think I'm just coming at this from more from Alex's perspective, where you said these relationships take a lot of work. So I sort of, I can't sympathize with him because I just sort of feel like, well, you should have known before getting yourself in this situation.
Why would you know?
Well, obviously, it's hard. I can't sympathize. Yeah. I mean, you just do know if you're in, like, the queer world where lots of people are in open polyamorous.
Maybe he's not in the queer
world. I get the feeling here that these three people might all be beginners to this kind of scenario.
Totally.
I think this would be a lot simpler if, like you say, Leah, if it was just about sex.
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's got emotional. So it has entered the realm of polyamory, I think. And that is inherently something that requires more work. One thing, I mean, we're all just going, oh, this is hard and you need to talk more. If you're in London, sorry, I don't know much about the provisions in the UK that aren't London-centric, which I apologise. Have you heard of a cafe? There's a cafe called Coffee, Cake and Kisses on Warren Street. It's a place that serves really nice cakes and caffeinated beverages, etc., but they also have workshops and kind of get-togethers with a somewhat sexual slant, and they do a thing called poly coffee, where people who've been poly for ages get together and have a brew with people who are just starting out and give them some practical advice. And I've been a couple of times. I'm not poly myself. I would find it really hard. I think I'd get jealous. But I've had some interesting chats there about everything from strategies for trying to talk about these kinds of situations, right down to home insurance for people who have multiple partners living in the same flat. It's so complicated. Mm. So I think getting a leg up from someone who's been doing it for years can be useful.
I'm not sure he'd be ready to even acknowledge that this sounds like a polyamorous...
I think we're being a little bit harsh to this guy.
He's obviously thinking long term as well. I think he wants to make it work, especially as he's saying the fact that neither of the other two have told their family matters to him. He wants to be recognised as part of this, of this setup, doesn't he?
Just because of the way he's talking, I feel like possibly hasn't come across the word polyamory. Like, I don't know how that would be, however you would manage that in this age of the internet, but because he uses the word secondary but doesn't acknowledge that that is a thing that many, many polyamorous relationships feature, is a primary and a secondary. So I just, because it sounds like he's already really hurt
Yeah.
Mm. And if her solution to things like New Year's Eve is vulnerable. To not go home with either of them,
yeah.
It just doesn't sound like they can talk or that they're compatible in that sort of conversational way.
But he's fallen in love.
I know.
You can't walk away when you've fallen in love.
But that's why I was saying that I'm not trying to invalidate his feelings, but sometimes when you're in an open relationship, your jealousy can be overwhelming and can feel a lot like love or feel a lot like a crush because you feel this possessive desire for someone.
I really strongly get the feeling that if this woman said, I'm going to dump my long-term boyfriend and be in a monogamous relationship with you, that he would be quite pleased about that.
Yeah.
That's an assumption there, but hey. And I don't think he's going to be able to change what he wants to be less of her time because, as you say, he's really swooning for her, isn't he?
But
sauce buddy.
Many more fish in the sea.
Yeah, true.
Many more couples to open up in
and
the sea.
And Google polyamory and go to this cafe. And
Go to Coffee, Cake and Kisses if you can. I would love to talk to the girl.
Mm. She's like,
woo. Yeah. She might be the queen of the world.
Yeah.
By the sounds of things.
So, Token fans, we would like to recommend another of our Guardian podcasts, Project. It's the podcast that examines the future of the world. That's a pretty big subject, but with host Gabrielle Jackson and Guardian correspondents from around the globe, they'll have it covered. Just go to theguardian.com/podcasts or find us on your podcatcher of choice.
So, the last thing we can do is have some quickfire questions. Fired at us.
These have been sent to me either through social media or via my email. I'm going to just read these straight out.
Yeah.
And I want your
like word association.
Off the cuff. Okay, first question. This is a fella who says, I was chatting to someone on Tinder and the conversation was going pretty well until the app crashed. When I rebooted my phone, the girl I'd been talking to had unmatched me. It could have been a tech error or she could have got tired for waiting 20 minutes while I was... Well, I couldn't reply. And he says, should I, number one, do nothing? Just take it on the chin and be wondering what the heck happened. Number two, reach out to her on Facebook. This could potentially be creepy, but it would be way creepier if we didn't have so many friends in common. Tinder said we had 50 plus mutual mates, so she's quite easy to find on Facebook. Or number three, ask a mutual friend to ask her what happened.
No. That's creepy. I would say number two, send her a message on Facebook, say, hi, we done matched. Was that on purpose or by accident? If on purpose, that's cool. Like, so I was just checking.
Yeah.
If not, hey. And then he can see when she's read it. If she doesn't reply, she doesn't reply. And then see you later. Bye.
Okay, next question. Oh, God. I can relate to this one. My boyfriend is so loud when he orgasms. I don't want to ruin his moment, but it's ruining mine. What can I do? Oh, God.
I did not see that coming.
You heard it, though.
Too awkward.
It's too awkward. There's no solution to this problem. You just need to leave. Or maybe they should try and reorganise the sex so they're not both at the same time. So that he's allowed to do
first.
That. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Also, just use your words, because it might be that if you mention this, he just wasn't aware and he can quite easily fix it by not screaming so loud.
He might think it's really turning her on and that it's, you know, he's communicating.
Or it's like when you're snoring and you're like, I'm not snoring. And they're like, fucking are.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the windows are shaking.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Another question. This person says, I've been experimenting with butt plugs, having been an anal virgin to anything more than a finger or a tongue tip. I've been using one which has been lent to me by a friend.
Oh, God.
A small jelly one. I presume that the butt plug is a jelly one. He's not got a small jelly friend.
It's harder to clean.
Yeah, jelly is... Okay, really, I have to do a hygiene note here. Yep. Jelly toys are porous. They are really hard to clean. They do hold bacteria in them.
And they kind of release... chemicals as
well. Some of them contain phthalates, which are a chemical in some tests have been linked to
make
cancer.
Sure your sex toys are body safe.
Yes, exactly. Pick good sex toys. Jelly toys for anyone aren't necessarily a great idea because they're hard to get clean, but loaning them from your friend is not a good idea.
Just
anyway, that's not the question.
Yeah.
My question is about long-term wearing of butt plugs for more than just in the bedroom, maybe even long enough for an afternoon or evening out. What are the best options for shapes, materials, lubes and insertion techniques? I tried wearing my little jelly one for a bit, but found it nearly coming out when I was walking down
my
the road.
My little jelly one.
Why do people wear butt plugs when they're just out in a boot?
Oh, for pleasure.
Oh, right.
It's stimulation, so it could potentially feel good to them, but I think it's also the idea that they're doing something a bit naughty and taboo and that's exciting. Or it might be, if this is an S&M relationship, it might be that the dominant person has challenged them to wear a butt plug, so there's like an element of humiliation or shame or, you know, or role play there. But what is being described here, these small jelly butt plugs are usually, they're kind of more like probes than plugs, so they look kind of like a jelly finger, and they're generally for getting used to the sensation of anal play or start. Sorry, Leah.
Sorry, I'm just like,
you're squicking so hard.
I'm
over
really
here,
squicking.
Aren't you?
Sorry,
I feel like I'm laughing way too much at this. I feel we've discovered our threshold, my Leah's threshold, talking about sex in a grown-up way.
Yeah,
and Alex, you've just completely like left us behind, and you're on some intellectual butt plug plane, and we've just been left behind in the gutter.
I think it's more meant to open the orifice so that you can put a larger butt plug in there. Yeah, because you should, you kind of want to use butt plugs a bit
now
like
I'm interested
Russian
again,
dolls.
I feel like I'm learning something.
Yeah, you want to start off with a small one to gradually let the sphincter muscles relax, and then you can put a bigger one in. And
like if you want to get your ear pierced, and then you get like a big email.
Yeah, like a gauge. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try not to think about people stretching their buttholes now, Leah. You can get jewellery to put in bum holes as well.
Oh, my God.
Did you know?
No.
Yeah. Another question.
No.
I think if you want to wear a butt plug out, it needs to be a shape. How can I describe this on audio? It needs to have a flange in it to keep it in place.
Flange.
Butt plugs make me think of the spade in a pack of cards.
Yes.
So,
that's a great visual.
But sort of 3D.
Yeah.
Is the flange the bit that is below that that's like
sorry.
To grow up?
I'm just gonna go. Freddie's gone.
I was holding it together. So you have the I can't.
He's trying to hold it together whilst telling someone how to hold a butt plug inside.
What's
a
flange,
booty.
Alex? Please.
Which well, you bit need is right, the flange? Okay.
You've got the main.
You're doing really well. So just
I'm trying.
They can't. Okay, just carry on.
So with a larger butt plug, you've got the actual bit that goes inside the bottom. Then you've got a little dip, and then you've got a bit on the outside that holds in place. Yeah. You need one that's got a big piece inside and a big piece outside, as well as that the inset part that holds it. You can get butt plugs made out of all sorts of stuff, including some quite heavy metal ones. I think I wouldn't wear those out in public if you're a beginner, just because if one dropped on the floor, it could potentially like crack a pavement slab or something. Yeah, you'd literally drop a clanger out of your ass.
No, wood's not a good idea, is it?
You can get sex toys made out of wood. Okay. They're very, very well sanded. So you don't want to get splintering your sphincter
porous,
is a bad idea. I think they're polished.
Okay.
So,
glass is also popular.
Yes, glass is good for disinfecting. I haven't seen. You probably can get glass butt plugs. You can get titanium ones.
Mm. They're all quite expensive. Just get one that isn't made of jelly or that isn't.
Yeah, one that's made of silicone would be a good idea. For this guy, though, I'd say the butt plug you're using at the moment is the wrong material and too thin.
And it's your friend, owned by your friend.
Yeah, and owned by your friend.
Thank you for listening.
Okay.
There were so many that we couldn't get to that we wanted to. Thank you for sending things in. Hopefully we've covered it in our ramblings.
Yeah, and if you have anything to say in response to the things that we've said, then you can email us at token.podcast@theguardian.com. That's new. You can tweet me at Leia Green Tweets.
And you can tweet me at Fred McConnell.
And you can tweet me as well. I'm at Alex Fox, A-L-I-X, one I like Cyclops, and then Fox like the animal.
We also have a new Twitter account just for the podcast, which is at thetokenpod.
Follow it.
Follow it.
And go on iTunes or one of the other podcatchers and rate us and subscribe. Really, really helps so that other people can find us. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, we will. And before we go, we should say a big thank you to our amazing... What does it say in the script? No, genuinely, our amazing and incredible producer, Rowan Slaney.
Thanks, Rowan.
Keeping this ship together. We will be with you again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, folks.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.